Welcome to the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal guide, your own pilgrim, on the 405.
So welcome to Pilgrim Talks with the Pilgrim on the 405 on this wonderful day in Laguna Beach, California. Now, driving up and down the 405, see lots of small businesses, lots of big businesses, but the predominance of businesses in Orange County, you know, there's over 13,000 businesses registered in Orange County. That is a lot. But the largest number of them are in this category we call SMB, small to medium-sized businesses. And various people have various definitions for where those cutoff points are. When we think about the majority of business in this country and the majority of jobs and what the economic drivers are, they're really in that SMB category. Although we spend a lot of time watching what the Fortune 500 and Fortune 1000 and Fortune 5000 companies do, because somehow we think they really drive the marketplace. Well, I suggest that while there's a lot of firepower in those large companies, that the real effort for changing this economy, turning it around, moving into this new marketplace is coming from how SMBs, small to medium-sized business owners, change their marketing, change their sales process, and begin to look at what they're doing operationally inside their companies. And so as we look carefully at those small to medium-sized businesses, we want to look very carefully at those vendors and those experts who are supplying small to medium-sized business owners with the direction, the imagination, and the accountability that's so necessary to move us forward. And so today, we have a very interesting conversation coming up with Kerry Ransom. Now, Kerry is an experienced internet and software entrepreneur and executive because he started, grown, and aided many technology companies, especially in their startup and growth phases. His career, of course, expands executive roles in business development, strategy, marketing, sales, and corporate development. He's the CEO of Real Practice, Inc. And the reason we're talking to Kerry is because Real Practice helps businesses to attract and retain new clients, which is absolutely in the sweet spot, if we can call it a sweet spot. This is where most CEOs wake up in the middle of the night wondering, how do I attract and retain these clients in this new marketplace, which has changed so dramatically? So for over 12 years, Real Practice has provided innovative and trusted technology products, and not only products, but also services to literally thousands of businesses across the country. And so we're very fortunate today to have Kerry Ransom with us. We're going to talk specifically about how this applies to small businesses, under $10 million in revenue, specifically in Orange County, and what can be done here to increase the number of new clients, and how do we retain those clients over the long term. So welcome to Pilgrim Talks, Kerry.
Thanks, Will. Great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about how you got to Real Practice. What's that all about?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I've been in a number of companies over the last really 15 years. Most of them have been at some sort of intersection of software as a service. So I was an early entrant in the software as a service movement of delivering software products over an internet delivery, which makes it a much more economically feasible product for most businesses. And I've really been doing that for even since the late 90s, so well over 10 years, and was early into that world. I've also been involved in marketing in a number of the businesses that I've been involved with, and marketing from doing actual lead generation and finding new clients or people, as well as helping them what we're currently doing with the acquisition process and even around the areas around retention. So as one of the businesses I was involved with almost 10 years ago was an email marketing company. And so I'm very well versed in how small businesses can use that. But it really all harkens back to the fact that I grew up in a small family business. And so small business is in my blood. My family's business is a retail business back in the Midwest where I'm from. And this year we'll turn 140 years old. Very unique. multi-generational family business that has first maintained the ability to persist for that long, but also stay in my family for that entire period. So I've always, as I say, I always have small business in my blood. I love nothing more than talking with entrepreneurs and small business owners about how they compete, how they change as the market continues to evolve. And I've always had a penchant for technology and trying to find ways to help small business owners adopt it, use it, and benefit from it. And so when I joined Real Practice a couple years ago, this business in and of itself, I was actually recruited to by the board as a replacement of to the founders of the company. And when I came in, decided that we needed to build on the assets that we had, but address some really current relevant problems that a lot of small business owners have. And I think that's what we're going to spend the majority of the time talking about over the next few minutes. And so we've spent the last couple of years, I built an entirely new team, we built an entirely new product set, and we call it ReplyWise. And ReplyWise is designed to address some critical issues that we believe most small businesses face and try to help them solve those issues around how do they do a better job of working with today's consumer in responding to them, following up with them, and ultimately turning them into a customer, and then beyond that, keeping them as a happy customer.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what do you see in the marketplace today that faces, when small business, do you mean under 10 million? Is that what,
sure.
what you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, so I actually like to use the term local business in many cases because, you know, I don't say that somebody who has customers all over the country or the world can't work with us, but your typical SMB definition, which, you know, if you use a census type definition, I think SMB can encompass businesses up to, you know, $500 million in revenue, which is not a small business.
Right.
You know, my family's business, as I said, has remained small. It's principally been under $10 million for most of its history and is to me truly a small business.
Okay.
And so, you know, our typical customer could be a dentist or a two-person law firm or a veterinarian with a few offices. So we work across, you know, retail and service type businesses, but these are truly small businesses, many of whom have desires to grow, and maybe they're early in their life cycle and they're just figuring out how to scale the business, or maybe they're small because it's really about the service that they provide and they want to remain small, but they want to do a better job of maximizing their customer experience or getting a better return on the marketing investments that they're making so that the economics of the business just are better than what they currently are for them today. And so we really relate well to those kinds of businesses, and often they don't have an army of marketing people in the company. They don't have a bunch of different salespeople. It's, you know, a business owner and maybe some other staff, and there are usually a finite number of people that actually touch that customer through that life cycle of working with the business. And we're trying to enable them to be better organized and more effective in those touches as they make them. And it's speed and it's accuracy and it's attentiveness to really what today's consumer expects in many cases, and largely in part due to the internet and the availability of information, the ease of access to choice, and the fact that most consumers feel like they're now in control today when it comes to making determinations about who they're going to do business with.
Well, all right. Now, tell me a little bit about what you see has changed in how consumers decide how they're going to do business with somebody. What's changed in today's marketplace?
Sure. So, you know, first and foremost, in my opinion, the internet. And the internet's caused two things, and I sort of just alluded to them. But number one is the power of information. Consumers now believe that any and all information they could ever possibly want is right at their fingertips. And so they use that information to their advantage, whether that is doing research and becoming much more informed and believing that they're near expert in many cases before they contact a business owner. So doctors I've talked to have said a patient calls me or prospective patient calls me today and literally is asking me for the drug that they want to have prescribed to them before they've even come in for an office visit or been diagnosed. They believe they can self-diagnose and determine exactly what ails them and what they need. And historically, at the first sign of trouble, you called the doctor and you went in and saw them and you relied on them to be that expert and source of information and truth. And now the internet, and to some extent, you know, and I'd use a medical example because it also can be problematic in that the conversation between buyer and seller in many cases has changed today. And when in years past I may have called a business just to ask a couple discovery type questions, I'm typically consulting the web first today. So by the time I reach out to call a business, I'm often ready to actually get into a meaningful discussion about their service or the products, the pricing, what's the mechanism for doing business with them. And so my first impression is really, really important. And where in the past it was maybe based on questioning, and if you were good at answering questions, I might just go ahead and do business with you. Now, in many cases, it gets to, okay, what is my experience going to be? And so people are relying on information, reviews, ratings, other information on the web. But they also, when they reach out to touch a business, whether it's filling out a form to say, I'm interested or I have a question, or picking up that phone, they expect somebody to be on the other end of the line. And also because of the internet, there's so much choice available. As we tell our customers, choice is always one click away for a consumer on the internet. So if they found your website, assume that they probably found it from somewhere like Google. They can always hit that back button on the browser and go to the next business in line. And you may as well assume if they don't reach you, and even in some cases if they do reach you, they're going to contact somebody else. So you better be really good at that first impression with them, meaning you answer the phone, or if you don't answer the phone, you get back to them within literally minutes to have any chance at earning their business. But by the same token, because consumers are so discerning and demanding, if you can delight them in any way or sort of positively surprise them, you can build really loyal customers quickly because they're typically not going to believe that anybody else is going to do it. And so one example I always cite is, you know, to attorneys, and we have a lot of attorney customers, if you get a note or an inquiry from somebody on a Saturday and you actually call them back on a Saturday, that will so shock and delight them that you probably, even if you're a bad attorney in actually the work you do, just by providing that initial experience, you're probably going to have a pretty good shot at getting them as a customer.
All right. So one of the things that's changed dramatically is access to information. And it seems to me like the second one that I'm hearing from you is customer expectations.
Right. Yeah, because if you think of it, you know, the nature of real-time information, whether it's social media or just the way we consume information in bits and bytes in this very fast food sort of mindset that we all have, is we expect near real-time communication with people. And if I have a problem, whether it's going on Twitter or going to the phone book and dialing people, I want to get it addressed as soon as possible. And so there's a lot of data out there that even shows that if somebody contacts a business, that literally the chance of getting that consumer back. So let's say they call you and you miss the call, or they fill out a form on your website and that comes into you. If you don't get back to them in the first 5 minutes or the first 30 minutes, the chance of getting that person on the phone an hour later, 2 hours later, or a day later can drop by 100 times. I mean, it's as I say, you know, leads do not age well. They age very quickly and very poorly. And so when the opportunity presents itself, you have to be ready at all times to address it. And so one of the reasons why we call the product ReplyWise is really to highlight that initial response, that reply, is the number one first thing that businesses should be thinking about, is how am I available, and make sure that initial touch is critically important to my success, so I better be thinking about that. And we're so passionate about it that we actually measure it in our users to show them how good or bad of a job they're doing at that, because it is such a predictor of success.
Yeah, I've had a couple of conversations with people at Leeds 360. Now, this is a sure. enterprise solution. You know them?
I know them very well.
All right, so the enterprise solution to this B2C, business-to-consumer marketplace, and that's what they tell me. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you got to be, if you're working with a consumer, you got to be ready to move. As soon as they indicate that they're on that website, want to be talked to, you got to be ready to move forward with them, right?
That's right. And it's the same, whether you've got a call center with salespeople, which they're typically going to provide their solution to a business that has a set of people ready to act at any moment. They're sitting there by the phone, and their job is to touch those consumers. Mm-hmm. And most small businesses aren't set up that way. So they might have a receptionist who sits in the front of the office, or the business owner may be willing to take calls to their cell phone. And we are very proactive about encouraging that. That, look, if you're going to go spend your time and your money to try to make your phone ring, then you better answer it when it rings.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going just into a voicemail or into a bunch of rings might as well be just flushing money down the toilet, because you're going to get a lot of people that just won't leave a message. Because they expect it's probably not going to be returned, or they're just going to say, I want to talk to a live person, and I'm going to go find the next person that can answer the phone. And so the consumer's expectation isn't different whether it's a small business or a large business that they're contacting. And the challenge is that most small businesses aren't set up today to react in the time frame that most consumers expect.
Well, I know we have a ceiling fan in our bedroom, and a switch broke on it. I picked up, got on the internet and looked up, I thought it was a Casablanca fan, turned out to be a Hunter fan. But they answered immediately at Casablanca and said, oh, you're talking about a Hunter fan. They're our sister company. I'll put you right over there. Within 10 minutes, I had that part on the way to my house. 3 days later, I've got the part. My wife says, it'd be really nice to have a fan in the living room like that one in the bedroom. Well, I know exactly where I'm going.
Of course.
I mean, that customer response put them in first place. I mean, now they got to lose my business. If I don't buy it, it'll be because something happened. But I'm predisposed to buy another Hunter fan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I could not agree more. And the funny thing is that's what I grew up with, Will, was, I learned most of what I know in business from my father and my grandfather growing up. And, being in a small retail business in a category that has largely become dominated by the big box retailers today, and they were starting to emerge even as I was a kid. Really, where we competed was on service. And somebody walked through that door, and they were going to get anything and everything that they needed to make sure that they wanted to come back and their problem was solved. And we did an okay job, I would say, when I was a kid on the phone. But today, even the way that some of these businesses are set up, you could be a retail business today, but you may have to be that service arm, because some of the manufacturers don't provide that level of service. But if you're the local dealer or representative, you have to fill in that gap. But that provides a huge opportunity to build a really loyal, happy customer base.
What kind of business did your parents have?
Retail lumber and hardware business.
Right. My dad owned a Napa store,
sure,
in South Texas. And it had been owned by my great uncle and my grandfather, and then my father's bought it. My father and his uncle, his brothers bought it. And same thing, exactly the same thing. Well, so now tell me a little bit about the tools that you use to help a local business person attract new leads.
Sure. So we We have done a little bit of work in the actual lead generation business, but that's not our core business. So what we really try to do is connect the various marketing efforts that a small business is currently doing. So they could be doing something like Google AdWords, or they might still be invested in the Yellow Pages, or they're doing direct mail, or they could even be doing content marketing or blogging or other online marketing to try to generate those inquiries. And we look at it very simply as they're likely spending money and or time trying to make their phone ring, in a very simple way to think about it. And we try to connect those various efforts into our product. So all those leads get delivered into ReplyWise, and that then kicks off a series of processes to help them in notifications and reminders and marketing automation to, as we think about it, plug the typical leaks or holes that small businesses have in their process of turning a potential customer into an actual customer. Mm-hmm. And so it all starts with that initial inquiry. And so the initial setup that we go through is connecting in those various campaigns or marketing efforts that they're currently doing to the product, and that is where it all begins. And so if they're doing any kind of advertising or marketing today, that's typically why they're doing it, is to generate new business. And we really try and help them connect the dots between that marketing and getting that actual new business, giving them the ability to both act on those opportunities through our product, and then also measure the effectiveness of the various marketing activities that they're doing. So because it's all self-contained and it's not leads flowing into their email inbox or calls flowing into their voicemail where there's single points of failure there where they could get lost or deleted, everything lives in our system and they can come back to it at any point. And we can also be intelligently monitoring it so that if they don't do something, we can remind them and we can remind them again, and we can be either that nagging mother or that sales manager that most small businesses don't have, but that they need to really be more effective at that process between the inquiry and the customer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are there particular tools or is it all proprietary?
It's all a software system that we've built, and it is all proprietary. We focus very heavily. We use a lot of user studies and have invested a lot in making it as easy to use and simple as possible. After over 10 years of working with small businesses and providing them software solutions, getting them to actually use them mm-hmm. is a very difficult task because these are busy people, and in many cases they'd rather go home to their families or go do something else at the end of the day, instead of logging into a software application. So mm-hmm. how we've actually built it is designed to make it, as I said, as easy and simple as possible for the business owner to use it. And one of the key hallmarks of that is how we think about small businesses and leads. So as an example, most business owners are in business to do something. They're a lawyer, they're a dentist, they're a chiropractor, they're a plumber, they run a retail store, they make cakes, whatever it may be. And leads or opportunities for new business come into them in a very lumpy, sort of disruptive way. So they're doing whatever their core business is most of the time, and then all of a sudden their phone rings, or all of a sudden an email comes in, and usually that's disruptive to what they're doing. And so we actually embed ourselves in that disruption. So we'll take over the email notification, or we'll take over a text message notification to them, or take over the phone call, and we'll deliver the lead to them through that, but also help them in completing the initial as we think about it, transaction with that lead. So think of a scenario where somebody fills out a form on their website. They get a notification. Somebody just filled out a form on your website. And in that notification, it tells them, first of all, what they need to do. So number one, you need to respond to this lead ASAP. And if you don't in the next few minutes, then there's a good chance you're never going to get them again. After you talk to them, then actually tell us about this lead. If you need to update the contact information, if you need to segment it into good, bad, or other, you can do that right there in that notification. So without having logged in to the software, they can get it on a mobile device, they can get it on a tablet, they can get it on a laptop, anywhere they can get email, anywhere they can get text message, they can transact with that lead and really complete the disruption very quickly and then go back to doing whatever it is they're doing. And in doing that, it's teaching them to adopt this very quick behavior in reacting, but then having that behavior reinforced by getting intelligent reminders or other things happening in the system behind the scenes to really help move things through their funnel. Mm-hmm. And most small business owners don't really think in terms of a funnel. You and I understand that concept as sort of naturally having been around this for a long time. But what we try to do is help them identify what are the repeatable processes that you typically go through to turn somebody from a possible customer into an actual customer. And then we reinforce or remind those things along the way. So for ones that are very clearly going to turn into a customer, maybe you have to send them a proposal and get the proposal back, and that's how you get them. Or you have to schedule an appointment and then get the person to show up for the appointment as the initial sales process. In other cases, it could be somebody who's a little earlier in their decision process, and you just need to segment them off to that fact. Hey, this is somebody who has some long-term opportunity for me, but they're not going to do anything in the next week or the next month. And so with literally a click of the button in a lead notification in our system, all of a sudden that lead could get dropped into a segment where a series of emails can get sent out to that lead on the merchant's behalf over the next 2 weeks or 30 days or 6 months, whatever the appropriate period is. And we start to see latent conversions coming back into the business over that period, where that consumer, where historically they never heard from the business again, all of a sudden is getting some educational messaging or other content sent out to them. So when they are ready to do something in a month or 3 months or whatever the period is, that merchant is still top of mind with them. And maybe it's an offer or some content or something that spurs them to call back or email back and say, I'm ready to do business. So, you know, there's a lot in that, what I just described, but the focus of it has been around simplicity and ease, and we've iterated it a lot over the last 2 years. And the great thing is, you know, for anybody coming in today, the product's now working. We're seeing great results, and we've had, you know, a tremendous number of users who've helped us get it to this point and helped even educate us to some extent as to what they're willing to do. And in some cases, what they're not willing to do.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, this is wonderful. It sounds to me like this is something that lots of small local business owners should be looking at. Can you stick around a little bit after the after we take a break here, and let's talk a little bit about how Real Practice goes to market.
Sure. Happy to do that.
All right.
I'm Al Strauss with Sandler Training. Talk to you about rule number 38. The problem the prospect brings you is never the real problem. When people have heard this rule and thought about it a bit, if they've been in sales for more than a few months, they almost always say, well, that's obvious. I've had lots and lots of prospects that told me what they wanted, I showed them what they wanted, and they didn't buy it. So it seems that it would be obvious. The problem is, most folks don't understand it, and you get in the middle of the conversation, and here's a prospect who's interested in something, you've got the something, and you just show up. And what you really need to learn how to do is ask a bunch more questions, because frankly, in most cases, the prospect doesn't even understand what the real problem is. And so if you ask three or four more questions about what they claim they need or are looking for or want, you're going to discover that it morphs, it changes, sometimes dramatically. What they end up needing is perhaps even diametrically opposed to what they originally said they were looking for. So ask the questions, don't take the first thing they give you, dive down into the real issues, and you're going to have yourself a much better day selling to this prospect.
So we've been spending the last half hour talking with Kerry Ransom of Real Practice Inc. about how he and his company help local small businesses attract and retain clients. Lots of different ways of doing that. A lot of it has to do with making information attractive, winsome, and available, and then also having a quick response to literally delight new prospects with the kind of attention that this small business owner or small business employee is going to give them. So I want to spend a little time now, Kerry, talking with you about how you and Real Practice go to market. Now, it may not be the same as what a small business goes, but tell us a little bit about how you guys go to market. How do you find new clients?
Sure. Very happy to talk about that. A little bit, I think it's some I'll call it IP that we've really learned over the years. And, having spent the better part of a decade marketing, selling, and working with small businesses, I've really learned a lot about the best ways to do this, in my opinion. And, I'll first sort of share a viewpoint I have, which has to do exactly with the solution that we've built. And the reality is that the penetration, if you think of systems out there that are household names or somewhat household names, like a Salesforce.com, there's very little usage among small business owners of systems like that. And to a large extent, in my opinion, this is due to the fact that it's really complicated, but it's also due to the fact that most small business owners don't wake up in the morning believing that they have a problem. So if you talk to a small business owner about their business, generally they believe that if they can get a potential customer on the phone, they're the best fill in the blank in the market that they serve, and that they're really good at sales, they're really credible as a provider. And all of this is generally true. If you call a plumber who's been doing plumbing for 15 years, they're going to be able to answer plumbing questions that you have. You better believe it. And they generally believe they're a really good plumber. But they don't wake up in the morning believing that they're really bad at the customer conversion process. So therefore, they're not typically looking for this kind of a product on a proactive basis. So because of that, we've had to actually take a somewhat unique approach to how we go to market. And so what we've done is we've actually gone out and partnered with a number of companies who are selling something that small businesses do wake up looking for every day, and that is leads or potential customers for their business. So where small businesses are spending tens of billions of dollars every year in the U.S. on marketing to try to generate new leads or new business for their businesses, those are the logical partners for us, because those companies are in the business of generating opportunities for these small businesses, and our solution becomes a very nice bridge between those leads and turning those leads into customers. So we go and partner with them, and we actually enable some of the biggest marketing companies out there to offer our solution to these small businesses as an embedded, attached solution to the marketing that they're already buying from them.
All right. So, are all of your sales through that kind of referral marketing?
So they're not 100% through that. We actually maintain a nice base of direct customers, which are sort of friends of the company. And it's larger than that. We have several hundred small business customers around the country who many of whom have been with us for a long time, who we keep as direct customers. But because our business, you know, the pricing on our solution is very, very attractive and very reasonable for a small business. But because of that, we need a huge number of customers to make this business be what it should be. We have to go to folks who have large numbers, 1,000, 10,000, hundreds of thousands of small business customers already, where they can go out and offer our solution to them in a really scalable way, where we as a small business ourselves are not able to do that directly in as cost effective a way as we would like. So we get referrals from people we talk to all the time. We do a lot of education of the market as well to help people understand how they should be looking at their marketing, the potential failures that they might be having in their marketing right now, how they can do a better job measuring it. And usually from that, we do get some direct customers, but we primarily go to market through partners.
And so let me see if I understand the process. Does your partner send you a lead, says this person's interested, this company's interested in it, or do they sign them up? Do they package it with their product?
Yep, they will package it with their marketing solutions. So think of a company, you know, a very likely company for us to partner with would be a Yellow Pages company who's maybe selling Yellow Pages ads. They might be selling online Yellow Pages ads. They may be selling other forms of advertising as well. And all of the leads that are generated off of those various advertisements get delivered into ReplyWise. So ReplyWise gets packaged with those advertisements. We're even fully willing to allow the partners in those cases to have it as a branded product of theirs. And the value that they then can offer to the small business is not only are we going to generate cost-effective leads for you, but we're going to give you some easy tools to help you turn more of those leads into customers. And we found that when those come together like that in a package, it's very compelling to the small business owner.
All right. So then what I'm hearing is that you have the paying customer who uses real practice tools. You also have customers who are referral partners.
Correct.
Now, tell me a little bit about how you go about getting referral. Now, maybe you have all the referral partners you ever need.
Well, we certainly always welcome more.
Right.
But
do you go get more? Are you in the process of going to get more referral partners?
Absolutely. Yes, we. And that I would characterize more as business development,
uh-huh.
But that is where it's a longer partnership discussion. But that is something that our company, you know, a number of the folks, myself included, have spent many, many years in the small business marketing industry. And we know a number of the players who are offering marketing solutions to small businesses. And part of the way that we found this opportunity was because it was a gap that we've seen in the marketplace for a long time. And there's often been tension between small businesses that spend money on marketing and the providers who provide the marketing to them. So if a small business doesn't have success turning those leads into customers, in many cases, they believe it's because the leads that they're getting or the marketing that they're investing in is bad.
We didn't get the Glengarry leads, huh?
That's right. And the marketing companies in many cases get frustrated because they think that the work that they're doing is actually delivering really good quality leads to the small business, and the small business isn't doing a great job of response and follow-up and follow-through.
Sounds like a classic controversy between sales and marketing.
That's right, a very classic controversy. And so we decided that we would become the bridge, we'd become the solution, and the truth would come out in that solution. And I generally believe that it's a little bit of both sides' obligation to improve. So the small business needs to do a little bit better job of selling, and the marketing provider needs to do a little bit better job of delivering higher quality, more relevant opportunities. And with that bridge, there's actually a tremendous amount of information that can be shared between the two to help create better alignment between sales and marketing.
So there's another function that you perform, and I suppose that's how you retain your clients, huh?
That's right. And so, one of the great values that we provide to our reseller partners is that they actually tend to get much stickier, better relationships with their small business customers who are using our product. Mm-hmm. So that creates a better lifetime value of those users. And for the small businesses who are using the product, we're seeing that they're getting tremendous improvement in their conversion rates. So then their view of the value of the marketing that they're investing in is much, much higher than it historically has been. And we've seen in some cases that there's a gap in the attribution that the small business owner gives to the marketing that they're buying. There can be a gap in some cases that's 10 times higher than what they believe it is. So they may believe that a customer, they're getting 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 100 customers from this marketing provider, and it's 10 out of 100. So it can literally be that big of a gap that gets, fixed as
between,
a result.
That's between perception and reality, right?
That's right. That's right. And so just, some data that'll probably be really interesting to your listeners. In people that are using ReplyWise, we use the first 30 days of their usage as a baseline. Because before, in almost all cases, before they use a product like ours, they really don't have a good idea as to what their conversion rate is on the phone calls or the inquiries that they're getting. They've got a gut feel, but they don't have good data.
What do you mean by conversion rate?
So whatever number of leads that you're getting, how many of those are you actually turning into customers?
Oh, okay.
And so generally they don't have an accurate number. They may have a gut number, but they don't necessarily have an accurately measured number. And so we use the first 30 days of them using our product as a baseline number. And it's probably higher than their number before using it, but it's still a baseline nonetheless. But we see that if you take the first 30 days versus just a few months later of using the product, that on average, our users improve their conversion rate by 67%. So that's, close to doubling or toward, and we think that over time, it will easily get to 100%, which literally doubling your conversion rate in just a few months of using a new product. And that's with no more marketing spend. So if you're spending $1,000 today to get leads into your business, and you're getting 20 leads, and you're turning 5 of those 20 into customers, and now all of a sudden, a few months later, you're turning 8 or you're turning 10 of those into customers, your return on investment is going up dramatically.
Well, does what the small business owner, the process that they use from the time that they pick up the phone and call, that sales process, does that have anything to do with the conversion rate?
It absolutely does. Absolutely. And we give them a lot of best practices in the product around content and expectations. So we help them, as I said, with that urgency of initial response. Uh-huh. We help them with follow-up. In many small businesses, especially busy ones, they may only try somebody back. Let's say they get a phone call with a voicemail. They may only try somebody back one time. And our system is going to remind them to follow up with that person a second time, a third time. In some cases, it may take 5 times before you connect with that potential opportunity. But that persistence also sets a perception with that lead that you do potentially care about their business.
I see.
So there's a number. There's no silver bullet here, Will, which I know you understand. It's a number of logical, typical holes that small businesses face in trying to turn potential customers into actual customers. And we diligently address each of those in our product, and different businesses have different holes based on the way they're set up, based on their attitudes, based on their behaviors. There's a whole host of things that affect that. And we've built for kind of the typical business and can emphasize various aspects in the product based on what the real needs are of the business. And the data, as I mentioned earlier, the data bears it out. In some cases, they're making bad marketing investments. Maybe they put up a billboard somewhere and they quickly realize they're not getting any calls as a result of that. So this will help filter those kinds of things out as well. So it's both, as our tagline says, it's both about advertising more wisely or marketing more wisely and about helping them close more business. So that's really the two aspects of our tagline, and that's what we're passionate about trying to help them with on a daily basis.
Well, that's excellent. And now, how do you go about finding new referral partners? Is that an ongoing effort? I mean, are you prospecting for that right now?
We are. We actually have as many referral partners as we can handle right now. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier, we're a small company, and the most of the partners that we are in either partnership or discussion or pilot with at this point have hundreds, tens or hundreds of thousands of small business customers. And when they decide to launch a product like ours into their customer base, we can be deluged with small business customers literally overnight. And so we're plenty busy at this point. As I mentioned earlier, the use and penetration of a solution like ours into the small business market is almost non-existent. Mm-hmm. And so the opportunity is greenfield for us for the next several years.
I have an idea for you. I want to come over and visit with you and talk about it.
Absolutely.
I've got several things that are going on in my mind when I think about what you're doing with small businesses. Now, these small businesses can have salespeople, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to come over and visit with you and see what your product looks like. You can show it to me, and I've got some ideas I'd like to get out on the table and see what's going on. Well, what would be helpful to you? Here you have this megaphone, and if you had a minute with it, what would you say to people? What would you like them to do? What would be helpful?
Sure.
Sounds like your business is going just gangbusters.
Business is very good for us, and you know, we always... As I said, I love small businesses. I love to see people succeed. And so I would just ask for any of your listeners to open their mind and be open to looking to improve the success that they have on their marketing. And for a very inexpensive investment, we can give them access to our product, and they're welcome to use it. And we've seen very few people that don't see value in it, whether it is keeping track of the leads that they're getting, helping them respond faster. And as I mentioned earlier, the data is showing that we're helping people improve the success that they're having by a huge amount in just a very short amount of time of using it. So we get very, very good scores from our users on the usefulness of the product, and certainly versus its cost. It generally... When we offer it to the market directly, we price it about $100 a month for just a small business to use it. And so for ones that are spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month on marketing, it's a very small investment for them to make to really sort of protect that marketing, as I think about it, and give them a lot better insights into what they're actually doing. And so I would just ask people to open their minds and think about actually trying it. And you know, after 15 years of helping small businesses and having several myself, I think, you know, it's a pretty low risk for people to take to try it. And it's, you know, it's a lot of education, as you no doubt can appreciate. to really get people to that place of opening their mind up and saying, okay, maybe I should look at the potential to improve a little bit and get more out of what I'm already doing.
So if someone wanted to talk with you more, how would they get in touch with you?
Sure. You can certainly visit our website at replywise.com and reach out to us through there. We've got phone numbers there. We have, I have phone number on my LinkedIn profile. We make it very easy to reach us, and always happy to talk to small businesses, especially here in Southern California where we're based.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time and spending some time with us on the show today. This has been very helpful, and I hope it's very encouraging to small business owners. 67% lift, that's pretty astounding. I can't imagine any business owner who wouldn't want to have that in their business right now.
Thank you, Will. It's been a pleasure, and thanks for including me.
So we've been talking with Kerry Ransom from Real Practice, from ReplyWise, a wonderful program for helping small businesses to stay in touch with their marketing efforts, to evaluate what's actually going on, and really be able to get beyond John Wanamaker's comment that I spend a lot of money on advertising, half of it's not bringing me anything, my problem is I don't know which half. Well, this is some software that will online help business owners of small businesses to find out exactly what 50% is not working, eliminate that, spend the same amount of money, but spend it more effectively. So, small business owners, hope you'll give a call to Kerry Ransom over at ReplyWise and RealPractice.com and find out what they can do to help you with that. So there we are. There you have it from the Pilgrim on the 405 on this wonderful day in Laguna Beach. Looking forward to talking with you next week. If you have somebody that you think might be interesting for us to interview here, give me a call. It's Will Crist at 949-355-6013, or you can email me at willcrist@willcrist.com. Look forward to talking with you next week. This is the Pilgrim on the 405.
You've been listening to the Pilgrim on the 405, the only show that takes you where others won't, out into the wilderness, with your own personal guide, the Pilgrim on the 405.
OCTalkRadio.net